Hello, everyone. I'm jumping on today for a quick little episode that can be a gift to a loved one or a friend or someone who's kind of interested in exploring their consciousness, meditation, getting more control and mastery over their mind. I'm actually here with baby Theo napping with me, which is why my voice is a little bit soft and quiet, but maybe that lends itself well to the practice ahead. This is actually a gift for my mom, who expressed interest in meditation to help her sleep. And I know many people have kind of this quote-unquote problem. I do too at times. And of course, there's so many things that go into sleeping well and being able to fall asleep on all levels. I always like to look at all the levels: physical, mental, emotional, spiritual. And so today's episode will be focusing more on meditation. And in a little bit, we will get to a 10-minute beginner's meditation practice. But I'm going to talk a little bit first in the introduction about meditation in general, about falling asleep. So if we look at all four levels, physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, starting with the physical level, of course, what we eat and what we put into our bodies, what we do with our bodies during the day, what environments we put ourselves into are going to affect our overall health and our ability to fall asleep easily. So that includes things like caffeine. And, you know, for me personally, if I have caffeine, for me, it happens 2 or 3 days in a row. On the third day, I will have a terrible time sleeping. Of course, other foods can influence our bodies, and that's something for you to kind of pay attention to. But lastly, I will also note that I notice in my cycle, hormonally, that the few nights before I'm about to have my moon time bleed is a time where I have a lot of trouble sleeping. And I think this is actually like a time right before the purge. So we're kind of hyper aware. It's like a very spiritually open time when it's like the winter. It's time to kind of come within and coop up and reflect on what we want to release. Like if the release is kind of like the end of winter, those first few days are kind of like the first few days as we lead up to our bleed are like autumn and winter, kind of like shedding. Autumn is like a very busy time, right? It's very windy. There's harvest to happen. The seasons are changing. The leaves are falling. They're changing colors and then they're falling. It's a very busy time, chaotic time. And there's this tension between like doing and needing to rest and come within and having the space to reflect. And of course, if you're a woman and you're a woman who has passed the time of her bleed, so who is in menopause, I have a hunch that the hormones in menopause are kind of similar to that last phase of our cycle. And I say this because I hear from many menopausal women that they have trouble sleeping. It's like a general thing. And I would also say that when we're, you know, menopausal or postmenopausal, women are even more spiritual and open and creative and have access to a lot of wisdom in that time. And so sometimes we can actually be prevented to sleep or woken up in the night because we have interesting ideas and perspectives coming in. So I would encourage us to not kind of fight the inability to sleep 100% of the time. I would first kind of try to connect to the inner voice, our inner higher wisdom and guidance, and see if there's anything, any message that is looking to come through and wants to be heard and expressed before the sleep actually happens. So as we're falling asleep, we're kind of entering, our brain is going through different states, going from like the conscious state to the subconscious state. And as we transition through these states is when we can be consciously aware of things that are often hidden from us. And so I think sometimes we're prevented, or we're kind of like stuck in this limbo of falling asleep because we're not listening to what wants to come through in that space of limbo. So the first thing I would recommend, you know, on beyond physical care, so like getting enough exercise and eating well and watching what we intake, is also having a journal where we can write down our thoughts. And of course, some people will use their phone, but it could be best to not have a screen or that like EMF radiation, or, you know, the energy of the technology, and just a traditional pen and paper by your bed to be able to purge out any thoughts. And even if it's like busy thoughts and stress about things that are happening in the day, just put them out on paper, because we're basically wanting to tell the mind, it is not the time to be thinking about this now. I am willing to relax. I'm willing to open and surrender to sleep and to my subconscious and to the mysteries of the dark worlds of the night, right? It's the act of sleep is an act of letting go and surrender. It's an act of turning off the conscious mind and like that busyness, that busy activity of the brain. And so, of course, if our brain is and our mind is like very active and busy in the day, it can be hard to slow it down. So another thing I'm going to say is, if we're doing a meditation practice at night to help us sleep, I would also encourage to have times in the day when we slow down. And that can be 5 minutes long, 1 minute long, you know, longer, if not, like you can think of the people in the world whose main goal is inner stillness and peacefulness, like the yogis and the Buddhists and, you know, the priests and the monks. They spend their whole days in meditation because they know that that's what it takes in order to reach that state. And so if we want to have access to those states in our busy days as, you know, regular folks living their lives, then we can bring in these aspects of moments of conscious stillness in our days. So I would recommend, like at the beginning of, right at the beginning of the day, and you have space, if you have space, maybe like right before lunch, it's actually very good to still the mind and the emotional body right before we eat, because this will improve digestion. Yeah, that's one reason, but also, you know, just to kind of like bless our food and just take a moment to breathe and settle before we eat. Okay, what else did I want to say? On the spiritual side of things, and coming back to this idea of sleep being an act of letting go, I would suggest developing some kind of like a spiritual or prayer practice where we're just like speaking out loud our troubles and our worries. And this is the same as like what's, you know, what we would maybe be writing in our book. But as sleep is a moment of surrender and letting go, we could just say something. And even if we don't have really a belief to anything specific, but, you know, maybe our ancestors are listening, or whatever we feel like in the unknown and mystical side of life we would possibly be talking to, even if it's like our subconscious self, for those who are very atheist and rational. It could be just like, I let this go. I let this go to the subconscious. I let this go to the ancestors. I let this go to God, to Mother Earth, whomever. And I ask for help on this matter. For this time in the night, I'm giving it to you. I am letting it go, and I will pick it back up in the morning. And so I find that this action of faith and letting go of some of our problems and our worries, you know, if we're thinking about people in our lives, people who are sick or our children, then we say like, I let this go. This is out of my control. I'm giving this off to the ancestors. I'm giving this off to whomever for this period in the night so that I can rest and have a clear mind. So those are, two aspects, two little suggestions. And now let's jump into the practice for someone who has possibly never meditated before. Or if you have, you might still enjoy my voice and this guidance. Okay, I will also add, there are so many different ways to do this, so many different things that we can do with our mind. My background comes from yoga, where it is recommended to use a mantra, basically. Using a mantra is something that helps to focus the mind. So our thoughts, we might have, you know, many, many hundreds and thousands of thoughts. And the mantra provides one thought that we can have that we can keep bringing our mind to. And often in the beginning, our mind will be like a monkey mind and jumping all over the place and maybe not wanting to stick to the mantra. This is very, very normal. Meditation is like a practice. It's like any person who maybe wants to develop, you know, physical fitness or bring any change to their life. It's a practice. It's something that has to be done regularly and daily, and the momentum will build over time. It will 100% build. I recommend maybe doing it in the same space that you're in and maybe creating some kind of a ritual or little something that you'll repeat, like maybe having the same blanket or lighting a candle. So some people might close their eyes in meditation. This can bring sometimes a lot of thoughts and imaginary images. Having a candle and something to focus the eyes on can also help to focus the mind. And of course, there's so many different things we can do with our mind. I'm a QHHT, so quantum healing hypnosis practitioner, and that practice is a practice of meditation and kind of exploring our consciousness, where we do let images and stories come through. And this can happen in your own individual practice. But I think first, a practice of learning to kind of like focus and control the mind with a mantra can be very fruitful. And so if ever the mind is drifting, we just try to come back to the mantra gently, just like a child, you know, just saying, oh, you're drifting over here, you're going off the path, like grabbing the child by the hand kindly, gently, and bringing them back on the path that we are focusing on, that we are committed to. And so in this practice, we will have like a minute or two to tune into the body and maybe open up to, I think we'll open up to the messages at the end of the meditation as we come back to the body. So first we'll tune into the body, relax the body, and then we will come to the mantra. And then we will have a moment of just complete silence. Sometimes so that even in yoga, the goal of the mantra is to help focus the mind on one particular thing and then eventually to let go of it altogether so that the mind merges with the ultimate consciousness or God or what have you, you know, after years of practice. But we will practice that too. So there will be a few minutes of repeating the mantra to yourself in your mind and then a few minutes of just openness and letting go, maybe a minute of that, because that can be tricky for beginners. And then coming back to the body and seeing the changes in the body, because our body is always talking to us. It's an incredible way to, it's like a signpost or flag post for our thoughts and how useful they are. So I have noticed that as I have become more aware and attuned to my thoughts, my body, and also like more in control, I guess, or more committed to what I want. And so letting go of the thoughts that aren't serving my life, my body feels a lot more relaxed. My posture is straighter. And it's been very interesting, really, in the past year to notice how certain thoughts will just create constriction, especially in my face or around my chest, around my heart. And when I am aware and am able to drop and let go of those thoughts, everything just relaxes and opens. It's been a very interesting shift. So yeah, noticing how, what happens in your body. In terms of the 5 minute and the 1 minute that I kind of recommend throughout the day, it could even be just before eating your lunch. So it becomes a habit before lunch to just sit and focus on your breath for like 27 breaths, just in, out 27 times, and then beginning your meal. And I'm very, very curious as to how that will change your daily living, if that's done, you know, as a daily practice. All right, so getting ready for the meditation. Setting up in your spot. Finding a comfortable sitting position. This can change with time and every day. I like to sit sometimes against a wall so that my posture is straight, and the wall kind of helps me know if I'm sitting straight or not. But against your bed, or you know, even if you prefer just lying down, it might take some time to figure out what works. Get an idea of your mantra now, or maybe, you know, do some research. You can maybe try some on for a month or two at a time. And ideally, the idea is to stick with one for long periods of time. So this can be something like peace or stillness or rest or surrender, or you can choose one of the Sanskrit mantras. Look up online. There's many different choices. So getting settled in, maybe lighting your candle, shaking your shoulders out, moving your neck, maybe shaking out your hands and your wrists and moving your toes, just to shake out the body a little bit. And now settling your gaze either onto the candle or closing your eyes, becoming aware of the breath in and out, in and out. Sometimes it could be good to extend the exhale, so we can inhale for 1, 2, 3, hold, and exhale, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, inhale, 1, 2, 3, hold, exhale, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, inhale, 3, 2, 1, and hold, exhale, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Now you can allow your breath to be natural, feeling the air in the nostrils, settling in your body, taking note of how the body feels right now. If there are any areas maybe particularly speaking to you, in this moment, in this practice, we are not having any judgment about it, whether it's good or bad, simply listening and taking a moment to thank our body for carrying us through our life experience. This unique body will only exist for this lifetime. And now we will practice on following the breath. So you can do a countdown of 27 breaths where we inhale 27, exhale 27. Inhale 26, exhale 26. Inhale 25, exhale 25. Keep going. If you lose count, you come back to 27. Very good. Now I know you might not have gotten to zero. That is fine. This is a practice that you can use in your own time. We will now come to the mantra. And as you're breathing, repeat your mantra to yourself in your mind with the rhythm of your breath. Keeping to the mantra. If the mind drifts, just bring it right back to our mantra. It's not a problem. We're training and practicing the mind like a puppy or a child. Coming back to the mantra, if the mind drifts, staying with it for another minute. Very good. Now we will release the mantra, completely relaxing the mind, allowing it to be open, noticing how the brain and head feel as the mind completely relaxes, surrenders the day. Surrenders the thoughts to something beyond and greater than ourselves. The brain completely relaxes and opens. Feel your face relax. Feel the brain ease. Feel your scalp relax, maybe the shoulders too, as the mind empties and opens. Very good. Now we will bring our attention back to the breath. Inhale, exhale. Inhale, exhale. And bringing our attention back to the body as we bring our consciousness back to the body, noticing any changes. Thank you, body. Thank you, mind, for being tools and vehicles in my life. Thank you to my subconscious that is taking the best care of me. Thank you to any being and source that is beyond me, that I might not know about, for helping me throughout my life. As a practice to learn to open up to messages from our subconscious and beyond, wise and loving support, in this state of ease and relaxation, see if you can hear a message from Mother Earth. What would she say to you? See if you can hear a message from your heart. What would it say to you? See if you can hear a message from your ancestors, a well ancestor, wise and loving. What would they say to you? Don't hesitate to play with this as a practice for opening and tuning into our intuition. I surrender and let go, and I am ready for sleep. Now you can bring yourself to your bed and as you lie down, you can come back to that mantra and using the same practice in your mind as you let go for sleep. I wish you the most beautiful healing rest to wake up to a great day tomorrow.